702.
What's gone viral?
With Kabazela.
Morning, Kabazela.
Surprise. Good morning, Ray Ray.
Yep, it's me. Surprise. Here's another surprising thing. Should you have got a professional in to do it? Now, I think we all know what that's all about.
Yeah, and I think we all have a story, either a good story to tell or perhaps maybe not. And this video has gone viral. So there's this guy, he's at home and he has got a couple of big trees that he needs to cut down at his house. Now, these are pretty big trees, and the issue here is they're very close to his house. So he gets his chainsaw out, zing, 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 and he decides, oh, he's going to go and do it himself. And you can see he's cut a few down already, and successfully so. And there's one that's on the back end of the house in the corner, and you can see him in the background. He's cutting, and this tree comes tumbling down. Timber! And it falls the wrong way and it hits the corner of his house. And the house, one by one, it just starts collapsing.
No.
And it, yeah, it's, you know, because in the US, a lot of these houses are made of wooden structures and all that kind of thing. So it hit the corner and the house came tumbling down.
Oy, now, oy, oy.
Yes, absolute disaster. And you can imagine when the missus finds out what she'll have to say about his goings on there with his, you know, trying to save a buck or two. Or maybe he just thinks he's very, very capable, like some of us do. So I wanted to ask people this morning, do you have a should have got the professionals in story to tell? And either, you know, yeah. it went well or not so well. I mean, I recently got a guy, it was recommended by people in the complex just to paint the carport at home.
Okay.
And, you know, a decent price, all that kind of thing. And the workmanship has been recommended. Paint my carport. And now a couple of weeks later, the thing is peeling.
No primer. Oh, dear.
Well, you know, he says he got the primer. I bought the primer, but I don't know if the preparation was done correctly. So now I have to start all over again, which is going to end up costing me double what I paid.
So frustrating, but it happens. I have this motto, just pay someone to do it. Get the guy. Always just get the guy because it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Get the good guy as well.
the good guy. So perhaps you have a story for us. Do let us know what your story is. Did you eventually have to get the good guy? What is your story? And then moving back in with the folks, it happens to some of us from time to time, doesn't it?
Yeah, it can. And I mean, you know, you move out of home and you think you're on your journey and then something perhaps happens and, you know, you are halted and you have to move back home with your folks. And, you know, your parents may be welcoming and saying, oh, yes, lovely to have you back. And sometimes they may be like, oh, geez, we thought we just got rid of you. Now you're back. So, in Australia, there's a bit of a rental crisis, and the rental market has increased in price. So this woman, you know, has been living in a particular place for a while, and the rent has gone up tremendously, and she has no other option but to move back home. Yeah. Let's take a listen to her little rant, shall we, Ray Ray?
I am nearly 27 years old, and today I am moving back in with my parents. This is not the plan I had for 27-year-old me, but that is just how bad the rental crisis is at the moment. I've been living on my own for the last 3 years. When I first started living on my own, I was paying $280 a week in rent. It was actually kind of fine to pay rent on my own, and I've never had like an outstanding salary. The reason why I'm moving back in with my parents is because my landlord wanted to increase my rent now to $450 a week. Now, I live in a small one-bedroom apartment in an old building. It's nothing flash. Sure, I live in a good suburb. I live in Malvern. I'm probably just paying for location. But I have to pay to do my laundry. There's cracks in the walls. Like, it's nothing flashy. Like, it's not worth $450 a week. That's like $2,000 a month. What are people supposed to do? I'm so lucky and I'm so grateful that I can move back in with my parents. But not everyone can do that. So what's your alternative? Like, you're homeless?
You know, that's so true, actually. What is your alternative? It is nice if you can move in with your folks, but also Kabazela as well. That's the cost of living at the moment. It just costs a lot, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And I mean, a lot of us are feeling the pinch, and, you know, you may be in a situation where you have had to move back home and, you know, kind of share the costs. And what's it like? You know, what's it like being back home, living under your parents' roof, and the rules? And for parents who are, you know, having the kids back home, what's it like? Are you happy? Are you excited to have them back in? Or are you like, oh, come on, you know? Get on your own 2 feet again and let's get moving on. We want to go and do our own things now. We took care of you for, you know, 20 odd years. It's our turn now.
I love that. I think that's great. All right. Let us know. Have you had to go back home again? And perhaps what's the best thing about going home? What is the absolute ultimate thing about moving home again? For me, it is the home-cooked meal because I know my mother cooks beautifully. But yeah, I'd like to hear your story. Leave us a WhatsApp, 072-702-1702.
Good morning. I've had to move back home because of finances, not because my finances weren't doing great, but I was paying about 6,000 rand for rent and I thought it was unnecessary. And I had unnecessary debts like clothing accounts and, you know, all those unnecessary things. And I managed to work hard to get my credit score to be very well, and moving back home helped me with that. But moving back home also means that, you know, the older we get, the older our parents also get, the older they become. And so they become pensioners, they stop working, and you have to fit the bill. It's not black tax per se, but because you live there, you understand that there are certain costs, and there's some pride in taking care of your parents. And like Kavazela, I love the home-cooked meals because I come back home late, I've got work, I'm at school. Yeah, Mashadi from Phosphorus.
Mashadi, yes. You know, this is the thing. You go home again, and Mateo, is it a case you're just surrendering? The expenses got too much. You broke out of home. You wanted to show mom or dad, but now you're surrendering.
It's life, Ray. I think, you know, you go back home to gain more strength, make sure that your finances go back to where they used to be. Because living at home, of course, it's either that house is paid off, you don't have to deal with having a roof over your head, because that is probably one of the main expenditures if compared to transport on your budget. So if you can handle 8,000 rand coming off your budget and to other things, to making sure you pay off your debts, sure, it's one of the best things to do. There's nothing wrong with going back home. Yes, you might feel a little shame. Your friends are doing quite well, but the situation might be slightly different for you. Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, if you think about it, people have bought houses, and if you're a youngster, you go and buy that first little flat or something, and then all of a sudden you can only afford 5,000 rand, and then that man called Lesetja Ganyago comes from the Reserve Bank and says he's increasing the repo rate once again, and now it's 6,000 rand or 7,000, and you're going, ugh, I can't afford this. It's called life, isn't it?
Yeah, it's better to go back and sort out your finances.
But Amo, you're different because you got a whole family and everything. I mean, going home to mom and dad.
I can imagine though. I mean, it's like a whole big family of four or five people. And I mean, it will be like we will be cramped up in one house. But I mean, I think also the reason why people move back home, it's not necessarily only for the finances. Sometimes you may find that I've had a friend who had to move back home because she was battling with depression.
Okay.
And
that's
she
that
was
too,
doing
yeah.
very
yeah.
well with her career. Like she could fund her own needs. She, you know, she was doing well, but she had to move home for support basis, for just to get that kind of support that she wasn't able to get anywhere else in the world. And so sometimes moving back home is just mainly for that basis.
There are many sides to many, many, many stories. Let's take a listen to some of your WhatsApp voice notes.
Morning, Ray and the team. With what Kabazela is saying, I was once charged 200 from a mechanic just to change a globe and like an indicator light, something like that. So I didn't do it. I'm like, you know what, let me just go home. And I travel 700 k's. Like it, I got home safe, opened the bonnet, changed the globe, bought a new one for teacher rent, and then it was done. Like from there, the problem is we get overcharged when you go to someone or to an expert and get a quote. Like, you know what, sometimes it's just not worth it. A job that, you know, it can be worth 50 rand, you're getting charged maybe 200 rand. So at the end of the day, just say, you know what, let me just try it myself. And today you're successful or you fail. That's from Willie in Joburg.
Willie, you're right. You either are successful or you fail.
I'm just wondering why he changed it after he traveled.
Oh, he drove all that long way. Just like, just stop and anyway, that's Willie's story. But it's true though. Sometimes you are totally ripped off by somebody, some person who comes out and I'm going to charge you 700 bucks and there you go.
That's why the rule is to get three quotes, right? So you know what the average price should be, but also you're paying for convenience, guys. We're not mechanics. And if somebody takes it upon themselves to know everything there is to know about cars, they're going to charge you for it, because they're not charging you for the job they're doing, but in the amount of time they've gained the experience to know what is wrong with your car.
So you do it, you do it. But sometimes, I don't know, they see me coming, those mechanics, and they're like, ah, oh, it's Ray White again, $8,000. There we go. Yeah, you got to be careful. John, hi, good morning, John.
Hi, morning, morning, Ray. Thank you for having me.
Go for it.
Yeah, well, Ray, it's about just a brief input around school camps. And my take is that they are not necessarily, you know, a bad thing. But school camps should be prepared, you know, and organized appropriately. As I'm speaking to you now, I've got a son who is on a three-week-long, you know, school camp. Quite an intense one. And in these 3 weeks, we don't even speak to him. The only communication method that we have with him, it's through writing of letters. You know, these letters are submitted to the school just once a week. But Ray, what I need to say is that water activities that are usually very, very, you know, concerning, especially for people like us, you know, Africans who are not very good, strong swimmers, will always be an issue of a concern. But what really brings comfort, for example, with the camp in which my son is currently on at the moment, is that if you look at the amount of effort, you know, the planning, you know, the dedication and the drive that the entire school has, you know, behind this very, very important program, which is part of their tradition, you know, as a school, it really gives us a lot of comfort, and we know that the school is doing absolutely everything necessary, you know, to ensure that the camp is safe. You know, these camps are very, very important, Ray, especially for issues that are related to discipline. Yeah. For example, if I can tell you, on these school camps, but particularly the one in which my son is at, there he has 37 hours where he spends those 37 hours alone, you know, not necessarily within a shelter, but completely alone, exposed to elements. We need this. The learners or the young people must be able to go through, you know, these types of activities.
Sure, but what is important,
what we need to underline is to ensure that safety is absolutely important, and we need to do everything, absolutely everything necessary to make sure that these young lives are protected. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, John. Yeah, you got to watch. You got to watch, because it's like having a toddler with a swimming pool. You know it could happen, so you know you've got to watch. And if you don't, Mateo, then it becomes a major problem, and accidents like this happen.
I guess this was the point of indemnity forms when we were going on tours back at school, to say, please take if your son can't swim, or if your child can't swim, if they've got dietary requirements that we should look out for as teachers, what are they allergic to? So you know, when you do go on the camps, you get maybe a safety suit before you get into the water, or some sort of buoy that will keep you up in the water,
because
they know,
their
life jacket, they know that you're not a strong swimmer. So hopefully this was done in this case. But I mean, from the story that I read, it's the kids that ran into the water as well. So
one ran in to help the other one. It's a major problem. David, hi. Good morning, David. Talking remedies.
Yeah, I think the remedies, you know, they've always been there while we're growing up. I mean, they're passed down, you know, from your grandmother to mother and down to you, you know, and you sort of took some of them because they worked. But I think the reason why they're widespread now is because of, you know, social media and people trusting, you know, advice that they get on social media, like TikTok for self-medication. But I do feel like, you know, just as we did back then, you exercise caution, you know, and you read the ingredients and you try and understand how does this really make sense, you know, because I think that's the only way that you stop yourself from taking something that will give you hectic side effects. So, yeah, I think they've always been there. It's just that now the problem is with social media. But caution is always important.
Yeah, caution. And sometimes as well, I mean, ask around, do your homework. What I do with things is I will Google a product and I look at complaints. I'll put the product's name in and the word complaint. And then you see if other people are talking about something. If there's one or two complaints, okay, fine. But if there's 6 or 7 or 20, then you know that there's a problem. It's a big thing. It really is. EWN.